Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, April 26, 2017. And with me today, Kelly Gumont. How are you, Kelly?
I'm doing well, Jeff. How are you?
I'm all right. And John Martellaro, how are you?
I'm good. Hope you're the same.
Yes, indeed.
Hi, Kelly.
Hi, John.
Aw, I'm glad you're both here. I'm also glad that Elgato and their Eve Energy Smart Switch are our sponsor today, because it's a pretty cool little product. We'll talk about that in a bit. But before we get to that, John, you have a premise, which is that robotics is going to shape the future of the iPad.
Sounds kind of weird, doesn't it?
It sounds really weird. So fill me in. What do you mean?
Well, it's kind of a complex sequence. It rolls out in three parts. I was sitting in my recliner the other day, and I started contemplating the iPad. And I'd also been exposed to some articles about the changes in work in the future, and the impact of robotics on menial labor jobs that employers can easily replace human beings with robotics for cost efficiency and so on. And I started thinking, well, if robots are going to put many people out of work, they're going to have to start thinking about, instead of going out and getting a job and doing something that a robot can do instead, they may have to think about creating their own job. And creating your own job requires tools and skills so that you can create products, services, content that people want to pay for. Mm-hmm. And then I started thinking about what Tim Cook said when he said the iPad is our clearest expression of our vision for future personal computing. And so I'm thinking to myself, is the iPad maturing fast enough to be able to give people all the tools they need to be able to produce the content, if the iPad is genuinely the future and will take over the tasks of the Macintosh? Uh-huh. And I started exploring that. And even though Apple pushes the iPad in education, the iPad in education is used for reading and learning and basic educational processes, but not necessarily mature enough in its technology and its design in the file system and the security to allow you to have a complete solution for building products that you might want to build for, you know, self-employment, building your own career path. And then there's the education process itself, where Apple's pitting iPads, because those are lower cost, against notebook PCs and Chromebooks. But my wife reports that her college students are using $100 used PCs and $100 used Chromebooks. And nobody that she knows of is using iPads for their college work. The notebook metaphor with a lid and a key and a real keyboard and a real operating system that can connect and do things like, you know, Linux and Windows and Mac OS are still the key tools for people to be able to build skills and build products that people want to buy. You know, Final Cut Pro X doesn't run on iPad. Aperture never ran on iPad. Well, there are some primitive editing and writing tools. I know there is Ulysses on the iPad, but it's still not maturing rapidly enough for people to say, you know, this is my income generation tool of choice.
Well, isn't this kind of like the natural progression of product development? I mean, if we look back at we'll go way back when the Apple II came out. That was a product with a lot of potential, much like the iPad today. And it took several years for it to evolve and grow and become a serious business tool. And then that eventually led to the Macintosh, which you know, here we are today, sitting here using various form factors of Macs. And oh, isn't that awesome? Siri's trying to answer me. Oh. Anyhow, but yeah, the whole thing with our artificial intelligence systems getting confused with the way we talk. Well, that's a whole nother show right there. Anyhow, it's an evolution. And right now, yeah. I think we're still in a very early phase with tablets.
Fundamentally, yes, absolutely.
But the other side of the coin is that the iPad was conceived perhaps a decade ago. And many of my readers agree that it is not evolving fast enough in either its size. That's why we got all excited about the Microsoft Surface Studio, in its size or its ability to be used by creative people. One of the readers suggested that, you know, there be a Macintosh tablet, which is kind of weird. But the point is that it seems like robot technology is advancing rapidly.
John, you just said the Surface Studio is great, and then you said a Macintosh tablet would be weird.
Well, yeah, it would be
weird. And in my head, I can't reconcile those two pieces of data.
Well, I know. I'm weird in the sense that Apple doesn't seem to be wanting to go there. But, you know, the article made me think about Apple's focus. You know, the iPad is in education in a kind of an awkward way, because it's being pitted against PC notebooks and Chromebooks, and it's being treated as a content tool as opposed to an income generation and product development and skills development and income creation tool. I mean, if you ask a developer, an app developer, what he's doing, he's using Xcode on a Mac, right? That's his income. Mm-hmm. That's his bread and butter. Right.
Yes, but we don't have Xcode on an iPad yet.
Right. Yet. Why not? Because of limitations in the operating system and security restraints.
I think it's because Xcode is gigantic and has a bunch of crazy crap that it does to you, because I am a very, very novice developer.
Well, it's all about file system visibility.
And
you manipulate files by name, you know?
Yeah, but I think, honestly, I think the problem here is the mental hurdle. And I think the reason people swore up one side and down the other that the iPad was a content consumption machine is because it didn't have a keyboard. And I'm not even trying to be like glib about that. Like, I really think it's because people thought, I can't realistically type on this thing because the keyboard is just part of the, you know, pops up on the glass and I'm supposed to type on the glass, and that's not going to work for me because I need actual keys. It's the same sort of thing that happened when the iPhone came out and did not have a physical keyboard like the BlackBerry that everyone had been trained to use as their business phone for all those years.
It's perfect on the phone.
So when the phone came out, everybody went, how am I supposed to type on that? It doesn't have a keyboard. I'm not even joking. That was the exact conversation I had with so many people. And it's and people got used to it. It's sure. Okay. Nobody's buying those Ryan Seacrest attachable keyboards. Oh, you totally
write a novel
do.
On an iPhone.
You do, but you use dictation or you use your thumbs. You know, people just by and large, I don't want to hear from people who say
a real keyboard.
Right. But I don't want to hear from people who do have a keyboard for their iPhone. I have a keyboard for my iPhone. I have a little inexpensive Bluetooth keyboard I picked up off Amazon that folds in half that I carry around with me. If I'm at conferences and things where I know space is going to be at a premium, I'll use that because it's easier for me to touch the keys than it is for me to type on the glass. It always is going to be.
Away your Macintosh. Could you make your living on an iPad?
Given what my jobs look like at the moment, yes, I could.
Mm.
That's the thing. I totally could. I could do it on the iPad Air that I have. You know, if I needed to, and actually have on occasion. So for me, like, the thing about the iPad is that I feel like the iPad is it's not an island, but the iPad is its own thing. It's not a phone, but bigger, which is what a lot of people want to call it. And it's not a laptop, but smaller, which is what a lot of other people want to call it. it's a third way, and it's a different thing that has its own setup. And like when Apple got into cell phones and started making the iPhone, Apple was able to innovate on that pretty regularly because there wasn't a lot else out there that was doing anything interesting in the phone space. So it was great for Apple because they're like, we can do this, we can do that, we can do whatever we want. And then every 2 years, you know, because at that point in the olden days, people were still tied to those contracts. So every 2 years, everybody stampeded out to buy a new phone because they were finally free of the old one. Mm-hmm. And it totally worked. And because there was so much that you could do, there was lots and lots of innovation on that side. And I feel like the iPad, because of what the iPad is and because of the functions that Apple believes that the iPad is to serve, the iPad has a longer upgrade cycle. It's generally not tied to a mobile plan in any way. People hold on to them until they don't work anymore. I still know people who have an iPad 2 that's totally functional for them. And you have to kind of judge it on its own merits because you can compare it to an iPhone and that's fine. But, you know, it's apples and oranges and it's not a fair comparison.
That's why the iPad is not evolving fast enough to keep up with the robots or keep up with the creative needs of people.
But what's fast enough?
Precisely because of that slow update cycle you mentioned. And that's by virtue of its design and its utility in the space between the phone and the Mac.
Okay, then how is it failing? If it's doing what it's supposed to be doing, then how is that a failure?
It's not. It's just maybe it's the wrong product for us to be camping our future on in terms of our vision for personal computing when it comes to income generation.
I just don't know if I agree with you on that front because I feel like the iPad is its own thing. I feel like it has a good upgrade cycle. It's not every 2 years the way people are with phones or even every 1 year for people who sign up for that plan, you know, or decide that's where a significant portion of their budget is going to that they're going
to
just spend $800
on a product. Maybe we need a 27-inch iPad that runs macOS apps by some Rosetta technology.
Okay, now, having used a Surface Studio,
no.
Keep
nope,
in mind, folks,
nope.
It's recreationally legal in Colorado.
That's true. Yeah, after using a Surface Studio for a while, I will disagree with you adamantly that we need a 27-inch iPad that can also run Mac apps. The Surface Studio is something that has a beautiful screen and is a series of unacceptable compromises down the line after that.
Well, I assume Apple would deal with that.
It seems like, Jeff, what's the approach that Microsoft took with the Surface Studio? Is it a mobile device with a giant screen?
No.
Is it a Windows computer with a touchscreen monitor?
Kind of.
Yes.
Okay, so it's not either one?
No. Okay. And it's interesting because if you decide to treat it as nothing more than a desktop PC where you can also touch the screen and use it as nothing more than that, it's fine.
Okay.
It's just a really expensive PC at that point. And so if you don't use it for what Microsoft says it's supposed to be, then, you know, it's a beautiful screen.
Right. But
for everything else, it's just a series of unacceptable compromises.
See,
and Kelly just cut out a little bit. I'm assuming it's because Microsoft is monitoring all of our transmissions and they don't want her to say bad things.
And I'm not going to say anything bad about the Surface. I just wondered if you could sort of see what the stance was because...
Oh, yay, technology. All right, so I get the gist of what you're saying or asking, Kelly.
Well, what I want to know is...
we'll never know what Kelly really wants to know.
Yeah. I don't want Apple to make a giant iPad. I want them to make an iMac that happens to have a touchscreen. There, I said it. If they're going to go that route, that's the approach I feel.
Well, I think that the MacBook Pro shows us Apple's take on what touch is going to be on a computer.
Yeah, so, they wouldn't have spent that much money in R&D if they were going to have a touchscreen iMac.
Yeah, I agree. I think the touchscreen is going to be in the same plane as the keyboard, and no fingerprints on the screen unless you're one of the people that that's all touchy-feely with your display anyhow. Yeah. All right. So we need to move on, but I'm going to wrap up with my take, which is it's clear that there's a lot of people that want the iPad to be more than it is today, and they want it to be whatever that is right now instead of, say, 2 years or 5 years from now. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, Apple's just going to keep moving forward at whatever pace they deem right. But in the meantime, the rest of the technology world is going to advance at whatever pace it wants. And because of that, the iPad may not have the relevance in the future that it has today. Does that sound like a good wrap-up, John?
Well, except remember, postscript, and in addition to what you just said, iPad sales are declining quarter over quarter continuously, mm-hmm. except for this holiday season where they bump up a bit. Mm-hmm. So that's got to be dealt with as well, or it's not the future.
Well, I hope they deal with it in a positive way, because I love when I leave my office, even though I have a MacBook Pro, I love when I can leave my laptop behind and go and do all of my business stuff on an iPad.
It's pretty great.
It is. It is. Hey, we have a sponsor, and that sponsor is Elgato and their Eve Smart Switch. And the Smart Switch, what it is this really cool little box that just plugs into an outlet, and it has an outlet on it, too. So then you can take something and plug it into that, and this little box connects to your HomeKit setup. So you can now take something that otherwise would just be a stupid old thing that plugs into an outlet in your house and turn it into a smart thing that plugs into an outlet in your house, because now you can control it remotely. And you can do everything with it that you would expect with HomeKit. So you can use other devices to trigger the switch to turn on or turn off. So you can make lights turn on when you come home, turn off when you leave. You can do like I'm doing right now and use it connected to an air filter in a room. And then I have an Eve room sensor set up. So if the air quality in the room drops below a certain level, the air filter turns on automatically, and it's all just done through HomeKit, and it works beautifully. I also love that you can go and see what sort of power usage you are getting through that switch. So you can see just how much electricity you are burning through to make whatever it is run. And if you decide that you want to put a cap on that, then you can. So the switch can monitor its own power usage, and when it's used whatever it is that you say is its threshold, it can shut down. So you can use it as a power-saving tool as well. I just love how versatile this little thing is, and I love that it's not really expensive. You can pick one of these up for just under $50. They're really great little devices. So easy to set up, and you can turn pretty much anything that you want into a smart device, and it goes on your HomeKit network. You can let Siri do something with it for you, because how cool is that? Just being able to talk to your house and things happen. Or like when I'm recording a show, I talk and Siri's trying to do stuff, but that's a totally different thing. The point is that this is a really cool product. I'm glad I have one set up in my house, and I keep finding different ways to put it to use. So I may have to pick up a couple more, because I want to do more. So go check it out. You can take a look and see what the Eve Energy does at the Elgato website. That's elgato.com/TDO, elgato.com/TDO. And check it out, see what it does. And I bet you're going to want one, because I've become a HomeKit and smart home junkie thanks to Kelly, And this is one of those things.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks. And this is one of those things that I absolutely love having in my smart home setup. So thank you, Elgato and their Eve Energy Smart Switch, for being our sponsor today. That URL to go to, elgato.com/TDO. All right, so we're out of time, but real quick, we just have to point out that apparently Apple has announced that the new iPhones are going to have wireless charging support built in.
Really?
Oh, wait a second.
How nice of them.
No, oh. They didn't.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, so here's what happens when a CEO of a company makes a statement that to them is a throwaway comment, but it becomes the one sentence that overshadows the entire message that they actually want to put out there. So what happened was PowerMat CEO Elad Dobzinski put out a press release with to announce that there's a new chairman of the board for PowerMat. And PowerMat makes wireless charging solutions. So, you know, conductive charging things, little batteries in your mouse, and you set the mouse on a little plate and it charges up, that kind of stuff. As pretty much a throwaway quote in the press release, he says something to the effect of, well, now that Apple has announced that the next iPhone is going to have wireless charging, blah, 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 blah. Needle drags across the record. Everyone's done because that's all they care about.
Life comes at you fast.
Indeed. He has no idea if Apple's actually doing this. Apple has
Maybe he does, but if he did, he
just lost any future Apple deals. But Apple has certainly not made any announcement about the iPhone.
Publicly.
Yeah. Or whether or not wireless charging is going to be in there. So, just had to share that.
So I wanted to point out, because I did tell you before we recorded, when you said what today's topics were, I said I had something to tell you about this. And the thing that I have to tell you about this, Jeff, is after having read your piece, confused PowerMat CEO says Apple announced iPhone 8 wireless charging. I'm looking forward to your future piece. Confused PowerMat CEO not been seen in several days.
I'll be watching for the Amber Alert for that one. Yeah. Well, hey, on that fun note, we are out of time, so we need to wrap up. Kelly, thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me, Jeff. Always a pleasure.
The pleasure is mine, really. And John, thank you for being here as well.
Yes, it was nice to be here. Bye, Kelly.
Bye, John.
Oh, you too. Elgato, thank you for being our sponsor today. Head over to their website, elgato.com/TDO. Check out the Eve Energy Smart Switch. It's a really cool, easy to set up smart switch to turn pretty much anything in your home into a smart device, and HomeKit compatible, which is a beautiful thing. Listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.